Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem. We will begin the Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Mem Amad Aleph at the third line. In our previous shir, the Mishnah taught us that if a father passed away, the Mishnah differentiated whether the father had left Nechasim Merubim, what halacha is if he had left sufficient assets. The assets are divided amongst the brothers, the Yarshim, who have the obligation to support their sisters from those assets, versus a situation where they had left Nechasim Atim. And we learned when Nechasim Atim were left, so then the father's obligation is to leave. Then we give the support. At the end of our shiur yesterday, we had a discussion what exactly that means, how much do we assess as necessary. But whatever Nechasim Atim are left are given to the daughters. Agmar begins with the following situation. Pshita, says the Gemara, it's obvious to us, Nismat Merubim v'Nismatu, at the time of death, based on the valuation that we just described, there were enough assets to be considered Nechasim Merubim. And then v'Nismatu, the simplest two ways of this happening is either the cost of supporting these daughters went up, or the value of the assets went down. And now these assets do not have enough to support these girls. The halacha is, but it was at that time of death, Nechasim Merubim, says the halacha is Kvazocha ben Yarshim, it becomes the property of the Yarshim, and they don't have to reevaluate, and we don't have to reevaluate what we should now do. On the other hand, what will be the halacha of Nisrabu? If at the time of death, the value of these Nechasim were only Nechasim Mu'atim, but then for Nisrabu, they went up in value, the price of supporting the daughters went down. And then the question is, what do we say? Mao, do we say that because of what happened here, Brishus Yarshim Kaimi, that this is all considered in the Brishus of the Yarshim? And Oidilma, Saluki Misalki Yarshim Hacha, do we say since it was identified as Nechasim Mu'atim at the time of the division, it stays that way, says the Gemara Tashma, Domer of Ami Omer of Yochan, Yisayma Shekidmu V'mochrib Nechasim Mu'atim. The Gemara says that the halacha is that even though, as we said, the Nechasim Mu'atim should not be divided, they should be set aside for the daughters. But what would happen if they did sell off from those assets? So the halacha is Masha Machru Machru, what they've done, even though, again, I repeat, it should not have happened. They should have not done this. If they sell, it's considered a valid sale. What does that represent? What that represents is how strong they really belong to the Yisayim, they really belong to the men. Because, as we often discuss, the halacha is that this is a Yerusha. And a Yerusha, the Torah obligates, says that the halacha of Yerusha goes to the sons. Yes, because of the need to support the daughters, we sometimes have to make adjustments. But they are the primary owners of these assets. So if there's any way that we could fulfill that obligation, we do so. There's a machlokes rishonim, when the Gemara says here that if they sold off their asset, these assets, what they've done is acceptable, at what point were these assets sold off? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that they were sold prior to the division. So what should have happened was that they should have made this evaluation that we keep on speaking about. And once they made this evaluation, we should divide the assets as the halacha is telling us to divide them. But if they went and they sold it afterwards, they sold it instead of giving the girls or setting aside for the daughters what should have been set aside, doesn't make it. It's that what they've done since Midaraisa, as we just explained, these assets really belong to them. That's why the sale is a valid sale. Tosfos, another Rishonim, disagree. And Tosfos says that even after they already made this evaluation and this division, since, as we keep on describing, that the halacha is that the assets really belong to the sons, as they are the Yarshim. So therefore, says Tosfos, the halacha is that even at that point, if they sold off, it's acceptable. Says, so Rabbi Chanan, in the Kerbet Shurim, explains Tosfos' opinion. He says, although we've been learning in our Gemara, the way that these assets are divided is by looking at the situation, how many assets there are, what will be the expected cost. The reality is, says Rabbi Chanan, there is a chiyuv, there is an obligation to support the daughters that the father has. But that obligation, as we discussed in our previous year, the way that obligation is evaluated is that we determine how much time will there be until they be, for a year, or until they become bigrus, until they become adults. But he explains that the chiyuv mezainus, the obligation to support the daughters, is not an obligation that should be measured in years. It's an obligation that really ought to be measured on a daily basis. The chiyuv mezainus, the chiyuv to support them, is a daily obligation. It's not an annual obligation or an obligation that comes until they're bigrus. So even though, yes, we've been learning that the halacha tells us that they should divide, that they should make this assessment and see what the status of the assets are, since the obligation is really a daily obligation, and since, as we keep on adding, they are really the true Yarshim, the sons, given all of those realities, if they sold the assets, what they shouldn't have, whatever they did is they did. And that's why it's enough to explain that if the value of the assets were originally determined to be nechassim watim, and now they go up to be considered nechassim merubim, it's going, mash also, the sale that they've done will be considered a valid sale. Continues the Gemara. Yosef, Rabbi Yimya Kameid, Rabbi Vua, the Kabay Mine, Amenasa. When we speak about the almana of the nifter, the halacha is that a husband who passes away, his wife is entitled to a ksuba. But the halacha is that if the wife doesn't ask for the ksuba payment, or the wife didn't yet get remarried, the estate has to support the wife. So now the question is, this person who passed away, left over a wife. Now, the Mishnah has been speaking about the sons and the daughters. The Mishnah has not made mention of the wife. And now ask the Gemara, Masha Tamid ben Chassim, what does she do to these assets? How do we look at her entitlement? Aminin, do we say, Kivin Deslim Zoyin, as we just explained, she is entitled to support, so she too, that number should be taken into consideration. Memato, Oduma, Kima Deva Nesbil, as we just learned, if she gets married, Lesla, she loses the right to get Mezoinus. So Hashtanambi Lesla, you know, it's the way to understand the Gemara is that Bezdin only thinks about obligations that are definite. The obligation to a wife is not a definite obligation because there could be circumstances that will change that situation. And therefore, since that could come up, the Gemara's question is, maybe it should not be taken into consideration. And the Gemara continues, Imtim Suleiman, if indeed we shall say, Kivan de Ilam Aninsba, that in case she got married Lesla, she won't be entitled to support. Hashtanami Lesla, we don't take that into consideration, and we don't view what she will presumably receive as a reason to make this into Nechassim Ma'atim. bas ishtoi. That means a man married a woman, and this woman had a child from one very important point that we have to, of course, say, that the Rishonim say, is our discussion here in the Gemara about the Almana is only regarding the support that we may have, that they may have to give to the Almana. But as we said a moment ago, the Ksuba is something that every woman is entitled to. So many Rishonim say, of course, when we are evaluating what is the status of the assets that the father left over, the Ksuba has to be taken into consideration, that that takes down the value of the estate, because she's certainly entitled to it. There are Rishonim that disagree, because it may end up being a situation that she won't collect the Ksuba. Let's say she dies without having collected Ksuba. Let's say the cases that the Gemara discusses where a woman forfeits the Ksuba. So the Ksuba payment is also not something which is necessarily definite. And therefore, they suggest that even the Ksuba obligation maybe doesn't change the status of this Nechasim. And Imtem Tzalayim, even the Intzal Alesla, since, as we just said, since she got married, she forfeits the support. Hashtanami Lesla, and that's why it shouldn't be taken into consideration. What would be the halacha, asked the Gemara, where somebody married a woman, and this woman had a child from a daughter from a previous marriage, and the husband, this man who we're speaking about, who now passed away, had obligated himself that he would support that girl for 5 years. Mash tavet memchasim. How do we look at that obligation? Even if this girl would get married, that obligation remains. Nami isla. So it's a very strong obligation, and therefore that obligation, mamata, reduces the nechasim to, that has an effect on the value of the nechasim. Kiven the ilamesa lesla. The obligation is only if she's alive. But if she, Rahman Slan, would pass away, the halacha is that she would not be obligated the estate doesn't have to keep on supporting. So it's not a definite obligation. Therefore, loimamata, it doesn't take over that obligation. And Rashbam says that why over here by the Almana are we thinking about things that we have no reason to assume are going to happen, that she's going to get remarried. By these girls, we're considering that she's going to perhaps pass away. There's an obligation. How can we just look at those obligations? How can we just ignore those obligations? So the way I understand what the Rishonim are saying is that the nature of the obligation of one has to support his daughters is a very different type of obligation than he has to the than they have to the almana versus what they have to the and to this daughter, and this is a little different than what we quoted Rabbi Choron saying. What the Rishonim suggest is that they have an obligation on a daily basis. On a daily basis, the father had said he would support this girl. They have to support the almana of the father. But it's not a long-term obligation. It's a long-term obligation in the sense that it may be a payment that they're going to have to be making for a long time. But it's an obligation that is a daily obligation. It's not an obligation that has been established for that you have to do, that's something that you as a father, as a husband, have to do. Whereas the obligation to a daughter is a much stronger obligation, and that's why it's an obligation that we consider more. Vimtim Tzolaymer, continues the Gemara, Kimadi Lamesa, as we just described, were she to Rahman Tzolan pass away, so then the Mazonis obligation falls away, and therefore, Lord Mamata, it's not considered in the assessment of the value of the estate. Baal Chayv Mashimata Ben Nechasim, Babi Alocha, if the father owed money to somebody, do we say, given the kimayis, that even if the person who he owed money to were to pass away, that doesn't take away the obligation to pay off this debt? Nami Isle, there's still an obligation to pay off this debt. And therefore, since it's such a strong obligation, Mamat, or Dilma Kivin the Machasri Gvaina, since they haven't collected this money yet, so there's nothing, we don't have to be concerned about something that doesn't exist. And therefore, since that we only have to be concerned about the Baal Chayiv when he will come and ask for the money and not think about in the future. And therefore, it doesn't change the status of the Nechasim. But says the Gemara, but there are those that ask the question, these questions, just in the opposite direction. Again, the question is, since the money is owed, it should have an effect, or since, and specifically, or particularly, since even if he passes, since even if the person to whom the money is owed will pass away, that money, that obligation still remains. Or do we say the obligation is not considered an obligation until the money is actually paid, or the man comes for his money? And now the question is, Bas Ishtoi, the obligation he has to his daughter, Mash Tamat Ben, to his wife's daughter, Mash Tamat Ben Chosim, Amanosoi, Mash Tamat Ben Chosim, and if Amanosoi Bas, now the Gemara asks a new question. As we've been learning, the estate has to support the almana of this person who was nifter, and the state has to support the daughters. And the Gemara's question is, when there are limited assets, the question is, Bao Ezeman Kaidims, which one comes first? So the Rishash points out that this question that we just learned is a new question. And the Gemara has been asking the question in different approaches. Why is this a question now and it wasn't a question before? So the Rishash explains that only if we say that an almana has an effect on the Nechasim, so we see that the almana's obligation is very strong. But in the first Lashon, we weren't sure, we weren't as confident in the strength of the almana. And therefore, we certainly felt that the daughters came before the almana. But now that we see that the almana has a very strong claim according to this version, so the question is, how do we understand that claim vis-a-vis the almana versus the bonus? Amalei, so Ravua told Rabbi Yirmiya, Zilla Idna, leave today. The Talamacha, come back tomorrow. I hope we will have an answer for you. Kiyasa Amalei Pshayt Mi'ischada, I can answer one of the questions. Domer of Abba, Omer of Ami, Os Almana Eitzel Bas, Kabas Eitzel Achim B'Nichsamatim. We treat the Almana versus the daughters like we treat the daughters versus the brothers. Ma Bas Eitzel Achim, Bas Nizonis V'Achim Yishalap Sochim, at their very minimal assets. The daughters, the obligation to support the daughters come first. Af Almana Eitzel Bas, so too, when there's Almana and daughters, Almana Nizonis, it's the almana that gets supported, v'abas tishal apsochim, and it's the daughter that will have to look for tzedakah. So the Mishnah said, Admin Aymer, b'shvil shani zochiv sarati. So Admin's comment was that we said that when there are limited nechasim, that's why the sons are the ones that are affected more. And Avin says, "Bishvil shani zocher, because I'm a zocher, that's why I have sadity." So ask the Gemara, "My kamer, what did Admin mean to say with this statement?" Amar Bay, it says a Bay Hakamer. What Admin meant to say was, "Bishvil shani zocher v'roya nelak lask b'tayra, I as a zocher have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. So why should I have sadity? Why should I be in a weaker position?" Amalei Rava, to which Rava says to Abaye, Ela Ma'ata, if that's the way Admon is understanding, so does that mean that man da'asik b'Torah, only if the son is a person who's learning Torah, he's the one, the Yoris? We have been learning throughout that a son's position is much stronger than a daughter's position. And the reason is So the Torah identified sun. So does that mean what makes the sun special is because he learns Torah, and therefore we will suggest man the osik b'Torah. Only if there are sons who learn Torah, who the yaris, they get a share. The loyos of the Torah, but if they don't learn Torah loyaris, that's certainly not true. Ela merava hachkama. B'shvil shani zochav roya ani lirish b'nechos merubim. As we explained, the sons' rights are very, very strong because the sons are yarshim midaraisa. So Adman's comment is, how can we understand that I, who am ostensibly in a very strong position, because if there were mechasa merubim, I'm the Yairish, which the Torah gives me that Yerusha. And now, yes, the circumstances are that they're only nechasim atem. If sadati nechasim atem, I should be ended up in a weaker position. But one of the things that we learned in our Gemara is the need to support Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, the Gemara suggested that Talmidei Chachamim should, sons should come even before daughters because they're sitting and learning Torah. And I saw that the Sefer Yalkut Ma'amloyos explains the Pasuk in Mishlei, Emma L'chachma Chosiyat. If somebody says that I am a Chacham, and Emma L'chachma, that the what Shlomo Melech is saying is that if I'm a Talmid Chacham, then maybe I even come before you, my sister. But the Gemara says that, of course, the rules are all the same. And that's why the Ramah says that if you have two individuals, one is a Talmud Chacham who needs clothing, and there's the other one is an Amoritz who needs to eat. So, of course, under normal circumstances, we would first support the one who needs basic needs. The Ramah wants to suggest that the Talmud Chacham comes first. And the Shach, not arguing on the Psak of the Ramah, just says that we don't have that category of Talmud Chacham, Bezman Hazeh. And the Sefer Achayim, which was written by the brother of the Maral, suggests that supporting Talmid Chachamim is greater than any other obligation, because the Pasuk says, as Hashem Elkecha Tira, and we learned that the Pasuk teaches us Hashem Elkecha Tira, L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim. So we learn from here the importance of supporting Talmid Chachamim. And therefore, I saw some Paiskim suggest that even though we've been learning throughout our Masechta how the Deradinim of Yerusha, and the question is, should one manipulate and give different percentages? There is a reason to say that if there are sons who are Talmidei Chachamim, under those circumstances, we may want to consider giving the sons more, giving those sons more than to anyone else. Says the Mishnah, Hinich Banim Ubanais, if a father left over sons and daughters with Tumtum. A Tumtum, as we've describing in our Shurim, is someone who we can't determine is either a male, as a male or a female. Bizman Shen Chasim Merubim. So we go back to what we've been discussing, that the father, the state, has the obligation to support the daughters, but the sons are the Yarshim. And now what happened was that the estate indeed had Nechasim Merubim. But the question that comes up when we have these Nechasim Merubim, so the sons are the Yarshim. Yes, they're going to have to support the daughters, but the sons are the Yarshim. And the question that we need to understand is, where does the Tumtum fit in this entire discussion? So when there's going to be Yerusha here, has a charam doichen ayesetz on the kavis, the sons say, well, you're not entitled to a share of the Yerusha. You may be, because as we said, a tumtum has the place where you could tell if somebody's a male or female covered. We're going to treat you as in the kavah, and you're not entitled to Yerusha. Nechasim ma'otam, And if they're nechasim atim, where, as we've been learning, the daughters get supported first. And what happens here is that the daughters claim, so this tumtum wants to get supported together with the daughters. And the daughters say, why would we assume that you are a girl? And the chavis, they say, we're treating you like a son, and therefore you don't get along with us in the nechasim atim first. Says the Mishnah further, Ha'omer, if somebody makes the following statement, Imtel ishti zachar, if my wife will have a boy, yitl mana, this boy that's born will get a mana from my assets. Yolda zachar, and indeed that's what happens, that they had a boy, yitl mana, he'll get the mana. Nekeva, if what was said was that if my wife has a daughter, she will get Messiah, 200 zuz. So indeed, Yalda Nekeva, if a Nekeva is born, Natal's Messiah, she'll get Messiah. Im Zachar Mana, Vim Nekeva Messiah, if he said, if my wife has a boy, she'll get a Mana, and if he has a girl, she'll get Messiah. V'yalda Zachar Nekeva, and she ends up having a son or a daughter. So the Allah is Zachar Naitul Mana, Nekeva Natal's Messiah. That's the way the Rashbam learned the Gemara. What happened here was that if he was clear by each type of gender of who's going to be born, then you follow his instructions. But the Mishnah is coming to teach us, if he only spoke about one gender and he didn't speak about the other gender at all, so then that other gender will not get anything. But there are Rishonim that explain what the Mishnah here means to say when it says Yol Dezachem Nekeva, is that twins were born. And the Mishnah says is that if the twins were born and one was a boy and one was a girl, the boy will get the allowance that he set for a boy, and the father and the girl will get the allowance that was set for a girl. The Rashbam himself does not agree with that pshat, because the Rashbam says that it's clear that the father wasn't speaking about twins, and therefore there won't be an allowance if there are twins, because that's not what he meant to speak about. What about Yolda Tumtum? He made this point, he made this comment about when a boy is born, how much he's going to get, when a girl is born, how much she's going to get, and a Tumtum is born, ain't a Neutel, then they don't get anything, because it's not a Zachor and a Keva. However, if the way he expressed himself was by saying, whatever child my wife has, then the child will get this gift. And even though the child that was born is a tumtum, and of course the question is, why not? He said any child that will be born will be entitled. So why shouldn't he be entitled? So explain to Rishonim that we can maybe say that what he meant to say was that he only spoke about a regular situation. But if something like this came up, that wasn't something that he meant to speak about. And therefore, the halacha is that he will get, the tumtum still gets. Vim ain't sham yarish elahu. And if there's only a Yairish, if there's no other Yairish besides the Tumtum, since he's the only definitive child, so the halacha is that he'll get Yairish as a kol, he'll get the entire inheritance, because he's certainly a child. And certainly since he's certainly a child of the person that passed away, so therefore he's entitled to get the entire Yerusha. There is a machloikus rishonim. Based on what does he get this Yerusha? Some say that when the Torah says that uben einloy, as we discussed in our previous parak, that the Torah says that if there are no sons, then we give to the daughters. Included in that is a tumtum. If ben einloy, then we give it to the tumtum. Others say that the Torah says, "Vakarv elav mishpachtoi, whoever is his closest relative, v'yarish oisai, will be his Yoirish. And I saw that Rabbi Yochanan explains, the Rashbam here has given us two reasons why the Tumtum should get the entire Yerusha. The Nafgamina between these two Pshatim, suggests the Rashbam, is going to be a case where the only surviving child was a Tumtum. And will there be a Chiyuv Yibum or not? If we said that the basis is Ben Eloi, Ayin Alov, look if they are children. So when we learned the Halachas of Yibum, there's a similar drasha by Yibum, which would lead us to say that just like in our Gemara, we're considering the Tumtum a child, Filchus Yibum, we would also consider him a child. If, however, we're going to say that the explanation is because Hakarav Karav Kaidim, whoever's the closest relative is the Yairish, so that's a special din in Hilchus Yerusha, and has nothing to do with Yibum. And therefore, the halacha, if that's the basis for this halacha, the halacha would be if somebody passed away and the only child that he left is a tumtum, the tumtum would get the Yerusha, but he would not have the ability to exempt the father's wife from having to have Yibum v'chalitza. So the Mishnah said, that b'zman sh'nechasim arubim, hazacharim doichan ha'isoy eitzel nekevus. Doichan ha'isoy, v'shokl kabas. That means the sons say, you have to be able to say that you're a boy to be able to collect with us in Yerusha. Since you cannot definitively say so, we're going to treat you like a daughter. V'oktari sefer, but ask the Gemara, didn't the Mishnah say, yol the tumtum, that if there's a tumtum, ain't a noitel. He doesn't get like a boy or a girl. So how do we understand this Mishnah? Am Abaya, doichan I say, what the Mishnah means to say is that when the tumtum is born, the boys and the girls bounce him around. That the boys say, you're a girl, the girls say, you're a boy, and he ends up with nothing. Rav learns the Mishnah, doichan I say, that the boys say, you're not entitled to be Yairish, but yeshloi, but you will get supported. We learned in the end of the Mishnah that somebody said, if I have a son, this is what should happen. If I have a daughter, this is what should happen. And if a tumtum is born, ain't a noitel, says the Gemara, the second part of the Mishnah is following Osun L'Shim Gamliel, is following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that Tanan, the Mishnah discusses about a question of a animal that's supposed to have a firstborn. And if the firstborn is born, it may be a bechor if it's a male. So he says, so the Mishnah over there discusses if zocher, he says, if it'll be a male, he should be carbon oila. And if it's in the keva, it should be a carbon shlomim. And that's the halacha. If a boy is born, he's brought as a carbon oila. If a girl is born, he's born as a carbon shlomim. Yol the tumtum androgynous. Rav Shimon Gamliel and kedusha chal aleihem. Because it is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that a tumtum is a barrier lifnei atzma. And therefore, since it's considered an entirely new type of creation, that the Torah, when it speaks about Yerusha, it speaks about boys and girls, he isn't included in that case. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, tumtum yarish keben v'nizim kambas. Bishlam l'rova, yarish keben, he's treated like a son ben chosim mu'atim, that he doesn't get counted in with the girls to get supported. V'nizim kambas ben chosim merubim, that he only gets supported, but he doesn't get a share of the Yerusha. El Abaya, but according to Abaya that says, like we just learned, that he's considered a Beri B'fnei Atzmai. And since he's considered a Beri B'fnei Atzmai, he gets nothing. How do we understand this Braisa when it says Nizin Kambas? Answers the Gemara, U'tamech L'rova Mai Yerush Keben. What is the definition that he's Yerush Keben? He's never, according to Rav, entitled to Yerusha. Ella Lourish, that what it means to say is, were he the only child, he would get a Yerusha, ve'ein loy, but he doesn't get it, because the sons say, well, you're not one of our brothers. Hachanami, what Abayim will say to Bryson means to say, Roy Lizoin, he wants to claim that he should be supported, at least like a daughter, ve'ein loy, but he doesn't get anything. The Rishonim discuss a case that somebody survived by two children. a female and a tumtum. So if we look at this, again, if we don't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that a tumtum is considered a barrier b'fnei atzmai, the tumtum is certainly entitled to a share in the Yerusha. Because even if we assume that he's a that the tumtum is a female, there are no sons here. So he deserves as a female. And if he's a son, he should actually be the only Yairish. But the machlokes amongst the Rishonim is what, how much of the Yerusha, what percentage of the Yerusha will he be entitled to? The Rambam says that we view him as a female and he shares the Yerusha with his sister 50-50. The Rosh disagrees and says that the Tumtum is entitled to a larger percentage than its sister because there's a possibility that the Tumtum is a male, and if that's the case, he would be entitled to an entire Yerusha because he would be the only surviving son. And the Rosh compares this to a case of two people holding on to a garment. One person claiming he found it first and is entitled to an entire garment, and the second person claims that he's only entitled to half, as we learned at the beginning of Seth B'Metzia, because he agrees that they both found this garment simultaneously. And he says that the Mishnah at the beginning of Seth B'Metzia teaches us that in such a case, the first party who says that he found the entire garment first will get 75% of the garment, and the other party will get 25%. And the explanation was that 50% of the garment is given to the first party because there is no dispute from the second party that he's entitled to that 50%. What are they arguing over? They're arguing over the second 50%. The first person claims that he is deserving that entire 50%, and the second party claims that he deserves that 50%. So because a situation like this, we divide it. So we'll divide that 50% in two, which will add 25% to the first person, giving him a total of 75, and the second person will have 25. Says the Rosh, the same din would be here as well. The Tumtum is awarded 50% because even if he's a female, he's a sister with the other sister, and he's entitled to 50%. The question is about the second 50%. Is he entitled to that 50% if he's a son? And therefore, if he's a son, he's entitled to that 50% as well. Or is he not entitled to it because he's a sister and he's not entitled to it? So they're arguing over the second 50% and says the Rosh, that just like in Baba Metzia, when they argue over the second 50%, we divide it and 25% is given to the first person and 25% to the second person, so too, he says, should be the halacha here.